Good morning. Welcome to Husky Nation News right here on WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. This broadcast is in collaboration with the UConn newspaper, The Daily Campus, and UConn student-run TV station, UCTV. I am your host, Daniela Doncel, and here's the news of the University of Connecticut from this week. Midterm elections are right around the corner, and UConn PIRG is making sure students get excited to vote. Take a listen.
Friday afternoon, members of UConn PIRG organized a ballot-ready block party to get UConn students excited to vote in the upcoming midterm elections. UConn PIRG is a student-directed and student-funded nonpartisan nonprofit on campus. The purpose of the ballot-ready block party was to help students get excited about voting. The event, held on the UConn Student Terrace, featured numerous UConn organizations, including Her Campus, USG, Nutmeg Publishing, and WHS Radio. Jessica Gagnon is the Civic Engagement and Education Coordinator with the New Voters Project for UConn PIRG. The goal of the New Voters Project is to register 2,500 UConn students to vote in the upcoming election. The New Voters Project also wants to create a more voter-positive culture at UConn. Gagnon says it is important for students to vote.
Our generation is the largest and the most diverse voting bloc in the country, and yet we turn up to the polls the least. That means that every other generation is making all of these decisions for us. And if we want a future where there's legislation that benefits us, we need to put people into positions of power who are going to make those choices.
Fifth-year graduate student Emily Napier agrees. Napier also says it's important for college students to be informed on voter issues.
And I think a lot of people use the excuse that they are informed about the vote or uninformed about the issues, but I think that we have the resources and tools to be able to get ourselves informed, so I think it's our civic duty and important to do that.
UConn PIRG wants voters to be as informed as possible when they head to the polls. Websites like ballotready.org can help students research the candidates in their district. Midterm elections will be held on Tuesday, November 6th. Local polls will be held in the Mansfield Community Center from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. Individuals in line at 8 p.m. must still be allowed to vote. UConn PIRG will be providing free buses throughout the day on November 6th, leaving from the Student Union, to help students reach the voting booth. For WHUS Radio, I'm Catherine Seifer.
In times of darkness after the shooting of a Pittsburgh synagogue, UConn Jewish group Shabbat hopes to shed some light. Daily Campus correspondent Rachel Phillipson reports Shabbat organized a vigil at UConn Hillel both last Sunday and this past Wednesday so as to honor the 11 lives lost at the shooting. Rabbi Shlomo Hecht says the vigil is to inspire people to bring light into the world. He says this is the only way to dispel darkness. Shabbat President Gabrielle Charbin says it's important for Jewish and UConn students to acknowledge that anti-Semitism and prejudice still exists and that Shabbat speaks out against it. Phillipson reports a gunman entering a Pittsburgh synagogue on Saturday, October 27th, and opening fire. She reports that police took 46-year-old Robert Bowers into custody. In national news, President Donald Trump said he plans to protect the country by defining gender as either male or female by genitalia at birth. UCTV News anchor Luke Hydash reports the gender assigned at birth would not be changeable later in life. He reports the decision would reverse years of pro-LGBTQ+ policies under the Obama administration. UCTV News anchor Christina Carotero reports that Trump said he is ready to declare a national emergency if a situation in which a caravan of migrants heading to the U.S. worsens. Carotero says a caravan holding about 7,000 people is heading toward the U.S. from South America. Carotero says Trump and Vice President Mike Pence say it's inconceivable that there are not Middle Easterns in the group. Rivalry is brewing in the food delivery business at UConn. Luke Hydash reports for the Daily Campus that a new food delivery service and app called Munch Bunch has started up. It's owned by UConn sophomore Andrew Burns. Burns says the whole idea is to make friends while saving money. He says the way it works is you split delivery costs. You can also get discounts based off the number of people in your bunch. Hydash reports its rival is Hungry Button, previously known as Hungry Huskies. Right now, Munch Bunch works with DP Dough, Sergeant Pepperoni, Gansett Wraps, Pizza Mike's, and Wally's Chicken Coop. UConn Revolution Against Rape took to the streets and stores to end victim blaming. Our very own Andrew Smith covered the event. Listen.
In the early afternoon of Friday, October 19th, the leadership of Yukon Revolution Against Rape began to set up on Fairfield Way for the annual March to End Victim Blaming. Before the march was even set to begin, a crowd of about 50 people gathered in anticipation. Senior nursing major Lexi Graybon said she was excited to attend the event.
Yeah, it's looking really good. I think that every march gets bigger and bigger, and I'm really glad to see people of all genders out here, not just women. I think that's a really big step.
The leaders of the Revolution Against Rape briefly took the stage to address the sensitive nature of the topic at hand, as well as to issue a reminder of the necessity of self-care. And with that, the march was off. Chants of "Shatter the Silence, Stop the Violence" rang through campus, and signs with slogans such as "No one ever asks what the rapist was wearing" were barred for all to see. While rounding the campus, the march was bolstered by the honking of buses and applause of pedestrians. After completing the loop around the Benton Museum and up past Jorgensen, the march returned to Fairfield Way, where the leaders of the Revolution Against Rape called the first of several speakers to the stage. A brief statement was made by two members of the Eastern Connecticut Crisis Center describing the resources they have available to victims of sexual assault. Next, Elise De La Cruz of the Connecticut Alliance to End Sexual Violence spoke about the importance of recognizing intersectionality when it comes to addressing the issue of sexual assault.
Audre Lorde says, there's no such thing as a single-issue struggle because we do not live single-issue lives, right?
Greg Haddad, the Mansfield State Representative, and Mae Flexer, the Mansfield State Senator, were also in attendance.
Together, we fought to make sure that Connecticut is at the forefront of policies that prevent sexual assault and make sure that victims' rights are being respected.
Each speaker used their own expertise on various facets of the issue in order to provide insight into the discussion. The final speakers were the two founding members of the Yukon Revolution Against Rape. They offered to the crowd a spoken word performance in which they chronicled their experience at Yukon and the sequence of events leading up to and following their introduction of the march to the Yukon community. Afterward, the participants of the march were given the opportunity to take the stage and share their own experience regarding sexual violence. The crowd clapped and cheered for each individual who chose to stand up and reclaim their story. To conclude, the event headed into the Student Union Theater to discuss and reflect on the march as a whole. For WHUS News, I'm Andrew Smith.
That's all the news we have this week. We'll now be going into a short break before starting the talk portion of our show. This week, my favorite urban legend will be sitting in the studio with me to talk about all of our favorite books and video games.
Yeah! Oh, hi! Hi! I'm that elf from that shelf over there. You remember me? You put me in the Tupperware tub like 11 months ago! Yeah! I've been watching you. I've been watching everything you're doing because I'm out again. Gross! You know what? I made a list. A list of things that you don't want to get around. So, here's a list of things that you're going to do for me. First, 91.7 WHUS stores. You're going to stick right here and you're going to keep listening for me to tell you what to do. Secondly, 1972 G.I. Joe Kung Fu Grip, the tall one, no packaging, under the tree for me. Malibu Stacy, blonde hair, no packaging, under the tree for me. Yeah, you don't want anybody to know, let alone the guy in the red suit. No! WHUS stores, stick around.
And we're back. Like I said, we'll now be moving into the talk portion of our news show. Please note, from this point forward, the views and opinions expressed on this WHUS News Department show are those of the hosts and guests, and are not necessarily the views of the staff, management, or licensee of WHUS Radio or the University of Connecticut. I am here with the lovely Allie Irvin. How are you doing, Allie?
How am I doing? I think pretty well, considering the fact I went to sleep at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. I don't really know what time it was, but I was just scrolling Twitter for hours mindlessly.
Did you find anything good? Any funny memes? Any funny tweets?
Yeah, a lot of good Polish memes I was finding, yes. Like, last night and whatnot. I mean, my brain was pretty tired, so I couldn't, like, translate everything, but...
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, I wanted to start this conversation off, okay. Because you and I love all things fantasy.
Yes.
So, one of the things we started, like, that got us to become friends is through Skyrim.
True.
And so, I wanted to ask you how you got into Skyrim.
Okay.
How did you start off?
I always knew Skyrim existed. I actually got Elder Scrolls Online before I got Skyrim. And that was, like, what, 2016, I'm pretty sure? I got a Skyrim poster before I got into Skyrim because I thought it looked cool, and it was one of the Dragonborn, and I still have, and I've been meaning to frame it. But in any case, this past May, for my birthday, one of my friends bought me Skyrim and some DLC content, which is, like, downloadable content.
Right.
For my birthday, I was like, oh, you're so kind. And I started actually finally playing it after knowing about it, after having the Dragonborn theme, like, since last year on the FM. Like, I had the theme as the intro to my show before I actually played the game.
That's amazing. Oh, my gosh. So I started off with Skyrim because of... I was looking around for new games because I'd been playing like Tomb Raider and I'd been playing some other games and I was getting kind of bored, so I wanted to find something new. And I was also, I was just looking for something new. And I, at the time, I was I had a boyfriend. I was like asking him like, oh, what game should I play? And he had told me a few and I tried them out, but none of them stuck. This was like in middle school, by the way, like early middle school.
Oh, wow. See, I'm like, I come late into the game with everything, but better late than never,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, this was like middle school, like going into high school age. And so I had gone to like a friend's party, I guess. It was like a get together.
Okay.
And I was just talking to two guys and I was like talking about how I was like looking for a new game. They're just like, oh, you should check out Skyrim. I'm just like, oh, what's Skyrim? And they told me all about it. Which, for those who don't know, is a fantasy game based where you're...
Very high fantasy.
Very high fantasy, and you're the Dragonborn, which means you hunt on dragons, and you... It's a great game. And so I had told my boyfriend afterward, I was just like, hey, so I found out about this game called Skyrim, and we were on the phone, he immediately hangs up. He
what?
Hangs up,
what?
And I was just like, hold on, wait, what just happened? So I call him back, and I was like, why did you hang up? He's like, I was mad at myself. And I was like, what? And he was like, of course you would have loved a Skyrim. Like, I'm so mad at myself that I didn't tell
oh
you
that. Oh, my God.
And I was like, oh, no, don't beat yourself up. He was actually genuinely mad at himself for quite a while. But, yeah, so
he
after
failed
that,
you.
He failed me as a boyfriend. How dare you? No, but yeah, so I got into Skyrim that way. So what do you love about Skyrim?
Okay, so you're going to be disappointed in me, but I haven't gotten very far into it.
It's okay, neither have I. You're good.
I think I'm at like the cutscene where they're going to execute me.
Oh,
and then
really?
I got, oh, I'm in the caves, I'm pretty sure. Like, the dragon or whatever came and burnt down the town,
wow,
and I escaped into the caves.
I barely started.
Oh. Because you know what happened? The same day of my birthday, one of my friends is like, I got you, check your email. There should be an email with, like, a code mm-hmm. for Don't Starve Together. No, Don't Starve. And then he got me Don't Starve Together when I was in Poland so we could all play.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, I've got to try this game. And I got addicted to that very fast because it's really easy to get addicted because... You just keep, like, dying, and that's kind of like an adventure game, and you have to, like, survive the night and collect different resources mm-hmm. and build machines and just not die and survive as long as you can. And so I just kept dying, and I was, like, frustrated because I was like, no, I have to survive more than, like, 5 days.
Yeah.
But, like, Don't Starve Together. No, I keep saying Don't Starve Together. Don't Starve. The regular version is more difficult than Together because when you have a group of people, it's obviously more fun and it's easier. And my friend, like, set up a modded server. So
nice,
he could just, like,
nice.
Literally say, okay, I'm going to give you, like, a stack of blow darts. And you just shoot down that. There's, like, an enemy called a moose goose.
Okay.
And you don't know if it's a moose that's part goose or a goose that's part moose because it's a moose goose.
Interesting.
Or a goose moose. Whatever. Yeah, but like, it's just weird things like that. Or like a deer clops, which is like a cyclops, but it's a deer. It's
that's
a very
so
strange
cool.
game,
oh.
but it's really awesome.
Nice. Oh, so. That's amazing. So what are your other favorite video games?
Oh, my all-time favorite is the Lord of the Rings Online, commonly known as LOTRO. I started that in 2012. And I've just been playing it ever since, and I made a lot of really good friends in that game, and so it's very nostalgic for me, and I can't leave it. Mm. Even though I'm not super happy with the content that's been coming out lately,
yeah.
the earlier stuff is a lot better. It follows the storyline better, and we got to Mordor this past summer, I think. I was in Poland at the time. I couldn't really play. I didn't have the best Wi-Fi connection, but I still try it sometimes.
I can relate. That happens yeah. to me when I'm in Colombia, and it's just the worst
nope.
reception.
There's no way. Even like with Don't Starve Together, I kept lagging, and I was on voice chat. I'm like, guys, I'm stuck. I'm sorry.
You try your best. Yeah, no, my all-time favorite video game, like anyone who knows me knows, I'm obsessed with Tomb Raider and just like Lara Croft. The idea, like I have a Lara Croft sticker on my car.
That's
like,
so awesome.
I love her. I just think she's the best idol. She's intelligent and she's like just, she's so, I'm more obsessed with her, how intelligent she is and how much she knows about history than like what most people see her as is like a sex idol. So,
yeah, yeah.
So I just appreciate her for her brain, but definitely my favorite video game.
I have to start playing those because you did mention to me one takes place in like Serbia and now I'm yes. like all invested
oh,
in the 100%. Culture of the Balkans and no. I'm learning Serbian. So.
And it's great because it's all just
historically accurate.
Yes, exactly. No, it's amazing. And I'm looking forward to, they just came out with the newest one a few months ago called Shadow of the Tomb Raider, and I have it, but I haven't had time to play it. I'm so
sad. The struggles
sad.
Of all college gamers.
Honestly. So, yeah, that's on my list. But another game that's also very near and dear to my heart is World of Warcraft.
Oh,
I used to
yeah.
play that, and I used to play the free trial version that
yeah.
you could play for like 12
days.
So did
days. I.
Yeah, and I would keep making different characters.
Oh my God.
To like, you know, be able to keep playing. Yeah, that was fun.
I just can't do that. I can't keep, like, rolling new characters. I get invested in one. Like, my first character on LOTRO was a Dwarf Guardian, and I thought, oh, that's, like, great survivability. And actually, it was terrible because it took me so long to kill things because a Guardian is, like, a tank.
Yeah.
And I did not fulfill the tanking role well at all. I was a terrible tank. So I actually tried to be a DPS guard, which is, like, the stupidest idea ever because you're never going to have as much damage as, like, a champion or something else that's
right.
like a hunter, like who actually is made for DPS.
Definitely, yeah.
But my dwarf Hammerin Vasarakasi, which means hammer and hammer hand, because like the hammer hand is like a figure in Rohirric history and in Lord of the Rings, and what I'm a big nerd, but in any case, like he's always been my main and like very very near and dear to my heart. And then I just kept rolling out like other characters, elf hunters. Let's see. Runekeepers are pretty cool. They're like a caster class.
Oh, yeah.
Lore masters are awesome. They summon animals. It's like a really cool game. So, like, I just put a lot of thought into my characters. And I have about like 7 right now. And then a couple across other servers because other friends moved to other servers to my distaste. But.
So I'm going to tell you a secret right now that most people don't know. That's not going on the air.
Okay.
I've never actually, so I've played World of Warcraft and I know the concept of like healers and tanks and all, but I've never actually played that part of World of Warcraft.
Really?
Yeah, no. So I've never been a healer. I've never been a tank because I've never actually participated.
Oh, in a group.
In a group.
I see.
And so people, that's like the one thing most people talk about. And
yeah,
just like,
no,
and
it's true.
Not even in WoW, but just
no,
like in all games.
Yeah.
That's like the first thing they go to is just like, oh, what's your main? What's your position?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know.
I have to show you some WoW memes after. First of all, there's like a really good account on Twitter. But in any case, I never really liked raids. I never
yeah.
really liked them because there's too much like dependency on all the people, and like especially the group that like the guild that I was in, they would get really pissed off at you if like because of this one person who like was very controlling over the whole group aspect. Like, if you did something wrong, they would get really pissed at you. So I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to be involved in raids. Yeah. But when I did instances, which are not exactly raids, but they're like smaller, like session plays where you have a group of up to 6 or up to 12 or like 3 people and you just have like this quest in a dungeon. So it's basically like a smaller raid. But I would play, because I rolled out my Runekeeper like when there was a promo and you got like this, it's called the Token of the Valar, and it basically boosts you up to level 105. Gotcha. You choose any character. And I had my level 30 Runekeeper, which is the caster class, and it's like a really cool class because you could call down lightning and like shoot fire out of your hands and have like runestones come out of the ground. It's pretty awesome. But she was actually a really relatively good healer, and I was gearing her up because like at the time I was still like a little bit interested in raiding, and then just like I never got into it because I never caught up with all the content, and I was just like, eh, these people aren't that great to raid with anyways.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I think for raiding, just like in any game, you need a good
group.
Exactly. You need someone who is just naturally the leader, because in order to do that, you need someone to point fingers.
Yeah.
And if you don't have that, it's just
terrible.
It's just,
or chaos.
Yeah, it's chaos. It's terrible. It's just not fun. So I never found that group, unfortunately.
Neither.
So I just never did raiding. I was more of a lone traveler.
Same.
And I
legit
would love
same.
Just
questing.
Going. Exactly.
Yeah.
I loved questing.
That was me.
I loved, like, if I got to a new area, I would be like, all right, where are all the quests? Give them
to
me. And I'd just collect them all. Yeah, so that was always a fun part.
That's what I started off doing. I was like so antisocial. I would never talk to anyone. Yeah. I would get like IMs. I would never talk back to people. And then one of my friends, like, however we accidentally met, I forget, it was a couple years ago, but we started just like doing our minstrels, which are basically like bards. We were on similar levels, and so we were just like, oh, you want to like continue the content? I think we were both like level 70 something at the time, so we were still in Eriador and Lotro, which is like the region in the west, and we just like kept on going through the content, and it was pretty fun. And now we both don't have as much time, but we still like are from time to time like, hey, like, want to hop on Lotro? And she's also a big WoW fan, so I have to be like, what are you doing on WoW? Like, get off and get back on Lotro.
Oh, that's what my friend is like. I have a friend who got recently, this always happens whenever I talk to someone about WoW and they were an avid WoW fan, they go straight back into it. And they're just like, oh, I'm just going to reopen my account again and start rolling out money that I don't have because I'm a college student.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, and so I'd watch them play because I'm just like, I don't have that money to be doing this. But I remember, so I always go as a mage. I love, which is funny, actually, funny enough, I love going as any kind of like magic related role.
Same.
But in Skyrim, I don't. I don't like the magic system in Skyrim.
I don't really either. And it's the same in ESO. I'm not like the biggest fan of it, but I still like it because I like ranged attacks so I can run away.
No, I have a double-handed, what's it called? An axe.
Oh, nice. I had one of those for my guard.
Yeah. And I enchant it. So like, you know.
That's I know that
people,
system.
Yeah, that's exactly.
It's the same system in ESO too.
Yeah.
I never really got the hang of it.
Yeah.
Really, but.
Yeah, no, I did. Well, the one that I got it enchanted. And then after that, I was just like, wait, I want to do this with my other weapons. And so I learned how to do it that
way.
Because I just think enchanting is so
with all
fun.
Like the runes and whatnot.
Right. Exactly.
Yes.
So I was like really into that. And in WoW specifically for mages, there's this one spell that you learn it's one of the easiest spells you can learn.
Okay.
I forget exactly what it's called, but it's essentially you can turn yourself into a sheep and then run away.
I did hear that.
Did you hear that?
One of my friends is like a very avid WoW player, so I'm pretty sure he told me about that
at
some point.
It's not polymorph, but it has something in along those lines. And so that was one of my favorite spells because I was a big scaredy cat. So if I saw it, I was just like, oh, there's too many enemies around me. I need to book it. So I would turn into a sheep and it would last for like 20 seconds and I would just skedaddle.
Oh, there's a skill for minstrels. And basically it's called Feign Death, and it's got a little opossum like on on the icon, because you know they like play dead. So you just like dramatically faint and fall to the ground and lay there for about like 20-25 seconds. I would do that in a group of enemies. My friend would be like, what the heck are you doing? Like, you just left me. I'm like, wait, let me like feign death, then I could regain my health, then I could actually start healing you, because we're both minstrels and like, you know, we can't die in the middle of this group. That's just terrible.
Exactly. That's what I would do. I would run away and I would hide.
Exactly.
For just to like regenerate health, like reset all of my spells, and then go back in. Because it's like, you got to be smart about it. You
Exactly.
know? You can't just throw yourself in
No,
there.
No, you can't.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So those are my favorite video games and I love them. They're amazing.
Yeah. I never could really get into WoW, but I do respect it. It's one of like the OGs.
It's one of the OGs.
So you can't not.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. I actually got... so you know Ace because you're the assistant training director, so you know him very well.
Yeah.
He was listening to the show that we did last night, actually, with Shira.
I know, and he texted me.
Yeah, he texted me about it, and he was just like, "What were you talking about? Five fingers of something?" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And then he was just like, "You said something about like five fingers of something," and I was like, "Oh, do you mean Five Nights at Freddy's?"
Yeah.
And he was like, "Yeah, that one." And I was like, yeah, that's a video game. I got him into Markiplier.
Oh, I know of him. He's the man with the pink mustache,
Yes, he is. And so I got him into him, and I got him into... I started telling him about all the YouTube gamers that are out there. Like, PewDiePie's a big one, but, like, Jabsepticeye, Game Grumps.
Oh, I don't know all, like, the...
Oh, I have to teach you, Alan.
You have to teach me. And I have a Twitch, too. I just never watch anyone stream.
So do I.
I've always wanted to stream, too.
We
should stream together.
Can we please?
It would be hilarious with this commentary.
Yes, exactly. Just like Allie.
I've been meaning to.
No, we should. I have a friend who has a Twitch, and I occasionally go on, but they literally just play games on there, and I'm like, this is amazing.
No, I need to install the whatever, OBS cam or something, OBS cam. I have a lot of dev friends, and they're like, oh, you just do this, and this is easy to set up, and I'm like, ha, you know computers because you work with that for a living, and I do not. So,
that's how
help.
I literally have a friend that I go to, I'm just like, hello, my phone doesn't work, help me.
Oh my god.
So that's always fun. So my last question for you is, along with video games, we do occasionally talk about fantasy books.
Yes.
So do you have a favorite fantasy book or series?
Oh, absolutely. The Lord of the Rings, hands down. I started that in middle school, and I just reread it every couple of years, and it's just a wonderful series. Tolkien was a genius. His works were a masterpiece, but... I do like other fantasy series because I always like loved high fantasy like as a child and even now. And like a couple of the ones I got into early on were like Aragorn was a big one. And I know people like say it's like, oh, it's like a ripoff, a terrible ripoff of like Lord of the Rings meets Star Wars. But I really liked it at the time. And I still like I reread the books this past summer and it's like so nostalgic for me. Yeah. And I really like thank that series for actually like, getting me into the Lord of the Rings because then I went on LOTRO and then just I became a bigger nerd than I already was. But Aragorn, I definitely liked. And Chronicles of Narnia, that was also very sentimental to me and influential in, like, my high fantasy, I don't know, childhood days, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, those books.
I don't know if I told you, but I actually just finished reading all of the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Oh, you told me you were in process of it.
I finally finished it. I finally finished.
Congratulations.
I loved them.
So what's your
fantastic.
Favorite book?
I did not, like, I was struggling. I'm not going to lie. I was struggling to get through the first one. I didn't get into it until the scene in the second book.
Okay.
Where they meet...
the Ents?
The Ents, exactly.
Oh, okay.
Like,
Shreebeard.
I don't know why. The second they started talking about Ent wives, I was like, wait, what's happening? I got so into it. And ever since then, until the end, I was, like, very much into the story. And then I watched I did a full marathon the, like extra edition, like, not director's cut, like, all the longer version of the movies with a friend of mine. So
very nice.
It was a great experience.
That's
awesome. Lord of the Rings is out there. I will always, always talk about Name of the Wind.
Which I read.
Which you recommended
to me.
Kingkiller.
And I loved it. I have to read the second one. What was it, The Wise Man's Fear or
the
something?
Wise Man's
Fear. I got to read that.
You
but
gotta
I,
read it,
I kid you not. I think I was texting you throughout this. I'm like, I started The Name of the Wind, and then a couple of days later, I finished The Name of the Wind.
I was so shocked. I was like, Allie, we need to talk about this.
Yeah, I read it so quickly because like I was preparing to like leave to Poland in like early June.
Yeah.
I was like, I must finish this book. I'm not taking it with me because I don't want to get it like damaged in the airport because I'm like obsessive over like the pristine nature of books. Like I have to keep it like, you know, unblemished and beautiful. That's why I never loan people books.
I don't like doggy-eared pages.
That's like a cardinal sin. That is pure evil.
Thank you.
You can't do that to books.
I'm glad you agree with me.
It's terrible.
Oh, well, thank you, Allie, for sitting in with me on this show.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
It was a joy speaking to you, as always.
Thank you,
and we're always happy to have you on. You were here. This is the second time you've been on the show.
Yeah, I really like being a guest.
Yeah, so we will always have you back.
Yes, thank you.
And thank you to all of you for listening to our show this morning. Thank you to the Daily Campus and UCTV for collaborating with us. And thank you to Ethan Smith for our theme music. I've been your host, Danielle Doncel, and you are listening to WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. Best of luck to you all, and have a lovely weekend.